team crashes an Imperial base. Omega makes new friends. Echo does some serious hacking and more as the Sky Guys are back to recap the latest episode of The Bad Batch.
All right, we are back here on the Sky Guys podcast, winding down the season of The Bad Batch, the final season. We're up to episode 13 today. We're diving into The Breach. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Phillips. With me, as always, the man's voice here in the narration every single week. Pete Consigliere is here. Pete, how are you?
Doing well. Always excited to talk Star Wars. So I'm pumped to see what you guys thought about the episode.
Yep. Also with us here today, the recently demoted Imperial Captain Nick Frietta is here. Nick, how are you?
Doing great. Only two more episodes. This will be, I believe, the first full show that we've covered on here. I guess the Obi-Wan technically counts because it's only one season, but the first multiple season show that we've fully covered on the Sky Guys. It's exciting.
Yeah, we went start to finish pretty much. Season one, we kind of did touch and go, but like we did do episodic for two and three.
That's right. Yeah, we at least touched on everything. Even season one, we did, like you mentioned, like a check-in every couple weeks. But yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun here. And Pete, want to subscribe to the Sky Guys. They can do so. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon, all digital suspects. Simply search for the Sky Guys, favorite podcast platforms. You can find all episodes there. And Bad Bad's winding down. Does that mean our content is drying up here? We have a lot of stuff planned for the next like month before Acolyte comes.
Yeah, I mean, we got a ton of stuff planned, ton of stuff scheduled up. If you're not subscribed, I don't know what you're doing. I've been saying it. I don't know. It's got to be every week now for the past 2 years, however long it's been.
Yeah.
Since we've had the subscribe platform. But yeah, subscribe. It's totally free. You get great content with it too.
Yep. And Nick, PWL follows us on social media. How can I do that?
You can follow at Sky Guys Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and TikTok.
Yep. You can also check out the YouTube page. Mike Phillips on YouTube at the video versions of the podcast. You can see all our wonderful faces, the graphics, and the props, including our sponsor for the season, Lego Omega, is here. So she managed to climb up the dumbwaiter to come check out this podcast today, Nick.
Getting tired of her.
Yeah.
Not Omega. Your Lego Omega, I mean.
Why?
Because we need something new.
Yeah, well, we don't have the book anymore, Adventure. I don't think she's coming back. But what do we have in the Star Wars news department?
So, a few items. Number one is Daisy Ridley expects to have a copy of the script for her Rey movie by next month. So, sometime in May.
Okay.
And we'll see how that goes. Apparently, the Acolyte is aspiring to have a lightsaber fight that tops the Duel of Fates from The Phantom Menace. We'll see how that one goes. I mean, doubt it, but we'll see.
Okay.
Kara played, like, well, it's going to be in Star Wars Outlaws. Kara is a character played by Emilia Clarke in Solo. I can't tell you how much I doubt that they get Emilia Clarke to do that voice, but
no,
we'll see.
No way. No way in hell they get Emilia Clarke for this game.
Yeah, we'll see. Here's the big one. Ubisoft has put out a statement declaring that the Jabba mission is a big part of the story in the main game, and that there's also a bonus mission to Jabba. So basically they had to go back and clarify, because there was an article that came out that said the Jabba the Hutt was going to be locked behind the premium versions of the game, and they've basically said that's not true. You can still access Jabba the Hutt and some of his missions in the main story, but there'll be more Jabba in the bonus.
Pete, I do not buy this. I think Ubisoft is lying to us.
I hope not, because if they are lying, it's just going to make them look even worse than they already look with this. I think that Jabba is not going to be a huge part of the game, the base game. I think you're just going to get a little bit more. And honestly, I don't think Jabba is going to be a huge part of the game, period. I think that they're dangling the carrot, if you will, like Nick would say. I think that they're saying, oh, look, Jabba the Hutt missions. And I just. Ever since we talked about it, you know, about the price points and everything like that, it's left a sour taste in my mouth. And I just don't think Ubisoft is going to do what the fans want. They haven't done that in a while. And I think that they're just looking for the money. So I think they're going to flash Jabba the Hutt as a, hey, look, a DLC mission to get people to buy it. And it's going to be lackluster.
Nick, Jingle Keys.
I don't know. I'm not sure who to believe here. I guess I believe them. I feel like lying is like really dangerous at this point. Especially with how much backlash they've taken, but it's not looking good.
I don't believe it. I just think this. Oh, like the way they word it, sort of like, oh, you're still gonna see Jabba and you're gonna do a mission for Jabba, but the super fun mission is behind the paywall. You have to go pay more money for.
Yeah. That's. Okay. I would agree with that.
All right, what else we got?
There's one last piece of news, and that is apparently Disney Plus is reportedly planning to add channels to their service, meaning you will click on Disney Plus and you have your little icons there. There's one for Disney, there's one for Pixar, there's one for Marvel, there's one for Star Wars. You will be able to click inside of each of those and there'll be a live channel, meaning there'll always be something on. Instead of, I don't know what to pick, there's so much Star Wars, something Star Wars is always playing, you can tune into the Star Wars channel. Which doesn't really mean much because we have the beauty of on-demand service, except for this one thing. If there's a live channel, what does that tell you? They're going to be doing live releases for shows in the future.
Yeah.
So there'll be a way to tune in live. Like when we want to watch, let's say, what's next?
Acolyte.
Acolyte probably won't be ready for the Acolyte, but let's say it is.
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, fine. We'll say Skeleton Crew. When Skeleton Crew comes on, let's say it's Tuesday at 9 p.m. which is what it seems like they're going to be doing for their live action shows. Tuesday at 9 p.m., it starts on Disney Plus. If you're there, great. If you're not, you can watch it on the app. Similar to HBO, the way they do it.
P, I believe this is called cable.
Yeah, you know, you would think that with a streaming service, we get away from cable, but we're just kind of going back to cable. There's a lot of things in this that are good and bad, in my opinion. Overall, I think this is dumb. I think that people don't have the time sometimes to just stop what they're doing and at 9 o'clock watch something live. I think there's a beauty about being able to pause something to run to the other room or something like that when it comes to shows. I do think though the beauty of everyone getting together to watch the show at the same time is also really good at a reasonable hour, right? These 3 a.m. releases on the East Coast are brutal. So I just think that to me, this is gonna be underutilized. When I say I think this is dumb, I think it's because I think it's going to be underutilized. Not that the idea is dumb. I think they're going to put development and hours into this and it's not going to be used and they're going to trash it after, I don't know, 6 months, a year. You know, again, some positives to it, just not to be negative about it all the time, is that, you know, if you don't know what to watch, you throw it on and maybe you discover something and you start to watch that show because of it. Or like Nick said, you can get the family together and say, hey, at 9 o'clock, it's going to be on live, The Acolyte or whatever it's ready for. Let's watch it together as a family. So it has potential. I just don't see it going far.
Yeah, Nick, the one thing I think would be funny if this channel, if they did it, is like, imagine they started off the Star Wars channel, like, okay, we're gonna put the entirety of Star Wars canon in chronological order starting on this channel. So like it goes through all the movies, all the animated shows, all the shorts, like everything in chronological order.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool. I mean, I'm excited for it, and I feel like if you don't have the time to sit there and like you said, you gotta get up and use the bathroom or something like that, then you don't have to watch on the channel. It's available on the streaming service, similar to the way HBO does it. It's exactly how HBO does it.
Yep.
When I say Game of Thrones, but all their shows really. When Game of Thrones came out, it was 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. If you want to watch HBO, go ahead, or you can go on to back then it was HBO Go. Go to the HBO Go app and just find the episode and click it. You have your option.
That it for the news, Nick?
That's it.
All right, so let's get into this episode here, Into the Breach. Another sort of, this is sort of, I feel like, a chess piece episode for the finale where we're sort of putting people in place here. We got the Bad Batch one step closer here. Very short runtime, though, P. You think, what, like 20 minutes, you think, before we hit the credits?
I think it was like 21 and change or something like that. I didn't really catch the timestamp.
25 total, including credits, so probably about 21, yeah, which is longer than last week. Last week was only 22, including.
I think next week's 22 also with credits.
How do you know that? You saw a tweet, something like that?
I saw a tweet something about that, and that today is 25.
And then you better hope the finale is more than that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I mean, like that doesn't tell me the episode's good or bad based on that. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, again, like last week, we're gonna start the timer here. We're gonna say that as you're listening to this podcast, about like 10 minutes and I'll probably be done with the episode recap and getting into the trackers here. So there was not a ton to get into. We'll kind of group into two things here. We'll do the Tantive stuff first where we start the episode here. So Pete, we see Omega gets to hang out with the other kids. She gets some information here. She learns the Empire wants them to play these mind games on the puzzles, sort of work, sort of keep their brains stimulated, but isolate themselves from not socializing with each other here. So I think it's interesting sort of. We want you guys smart. We don't want you guys planning breakouts together.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that was a good move by, you know, the Empire. I feel like we're always ragging on the Empire, but it's probably the best decision they're probably going to try to make. But it, you know, we find out that that's not necessarily always the case. It was, yeah, it's very interesting how they did it.
Yeah, and Nick, also Emery Carr is there, and we see at the cup she's working with everyone, some of the doctors in the program, and they're giving her pushback and saying, hey, like, you should not let Omega talk to these children. She broke out of this base once, and she's like, I'm in charge, this is fine. So definitely feel like we're foreshadowing something here.
Yeah, I think we're foreshadowing Emery Carr helping Omega escape, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's happening here. And also Omega here, so Nick, one other thing I mentioned here, we get to see also we like all three kids are back, plus the baby that they stole like 2 episodes ago. The baby's there too.
Yeah, that is interesting. Baby, the baby made its appearance.
Yeah, the baby showed up. We don't have a name for the baby, but they found the blue child is named Sammy, so that's progress. And Omega has discovered a prison break plan because while Emery Carr is doing her blood sample, Peach, she steals like a metal plate, like metal like a pick from her. Figures out that the droids are using like these pneumatic tubes in the walls to send their samples up to the lab, and she managed to pry open the wall and sees, oh look, there's a dumbwaiter. We could probably kids can fit in here and climb out the wall and get out this way. So she's building the escape plan.
Yeah, I mean, whoever built that facility was terrible. I mean, she removed one little tile and then like six of them fell. Just felt like it was just crap. But yeah, I mean, good for Omega to take that initiative. It takes some guts to do that, especially when she knows what the Empire's capable of, or at least she's fairly aware of what the Empire's capable of. And it just gives me, prison break vibes, right? It's just something that we've seen in Andor and stuff like that too. So definitely very cool.
Yeah, and Nick, this is also like she's done it once. She's already got knows I can get out of this base. I'll do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you better believe she's gonna get out of there and get some help. And I guess we'll find out in 2 episodes exactly how.
Now let's get to the Bad Batch here. Their mission here that, first of all, Nick, when we showed up and saw the Bad Batch get dropped off on this planet, did you not think it was Bespin?
Didn't cross my mind. I'm actually struggling to remember what it looked like now.
It looked like they are on these planet, these like these spires floating in the clouds.
I don't remember the shot, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got major Cloud City vibes on that first like shot where they are, but they're not there. I did look it up, but Echo's back. Echo stole a shuttle to help them find Omega with Rampart, and we find out that Echo basically stole a shuttle. He's gotten codes to get clearance to brought to an Imperial base, and Rampart reveals here, Pete, that any ship going to Tan has to go to Imperial Station 003 over Coruscant, and the coordinates get beamed into your ship's computer as you leave, so you cannot know where you're going. Only the computer knows where you're going. So I think this is actually a pretty shrewd security system of the Empire here to keep Tan a secret.
And another smart play, definitely uncharacteristic of the Empire. Usually, Empire is looked at as these dumb, like how they let them into the security, how them into the base, and the security stinks. But a couple of decisions now that we see the Empire made that were really good.
Nick, if
I
you're
guess
looking.
I can see why the security stinks at this point, because like, how is anyone getting in? Like, if you got anyone through that security to find out even where they are, you deserve to steal whatever you're going for.
Yeah, although I give feels like Hemlock's got a better idea plan for security than the rest of the Empire. It's like he's more in touch with what needs to happen than like your random schmoes on the in base 03.
Absolutely.
And speaking of Rampart here, Rampart says the plan that they come up with here is that you're coming with us. We're going to go on this base. We're going to use our codes today because the codes only work like once a day before they get changed. And you're going to be our commanding officer. We're going to be your escort here. I did think it was funny, Nick, when they gave him the captain's uniform. He's like, I was a vice admiral. And he's like, well, you got demoted.
Yeah, that was funny. But he's still pretty high up as a captain.
Yeah.
He's like the first guy they run into, he's given orders to. So didn't I guess it was, he went down a little bit, but still pretty high up.
Yeah, Pete, he did not miss a beat in the captain's uniform. Rampart was just as much of a dick as he always knew.
Yeah, no, he did great. Kind of fell back into that role really nicely. Not forced at all.
Yeah, and I
I
did.
would love to know like what the actual rankings are, like the hierarchy in the Empire, like wait, like in order. I'm sure that information is out there somewhere.
I assume it's like the Navy.
I don't know the Navy either.
Yes, I don't know. His vice admiral is above captain. I think commander is above
What's
captain
like
also.
what's the highest?
I would assume grand admiral or the emperor after the emperor.
Or a Grand Moff.
Oh, we'll think of that another day. But I did like here, as Pete pointed out here, Rampart walks in, like, the lieutenant shows up. He's like, you guys aren't supposed to be on my schedule. Let me check. And then Rampart basically just browbeats him into letting them go. I thought that was, for as much, Dick Rampart comes in very, very handy here.
You got to be honest with you. Were you talking to me? I was trying to look up this ranking thing.
Yeah, I was kind of talking to you, Pete.
Sorry. My apologies. I kind of zoned out there. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I talk about what you mentioned before, how Admiral Rampart being a dick ends up working out in their favor because he basically bullies his lieutenant to letting them walk on the base unquestioned.
I have to say, he does really well in this episode. I think that, like I had said before, it's not forced. It just seems so natural for him to get back in the swing of things even after being prisoner for however long. It fits the character and it fits the MO of Imperial, you know, ranking officers. I don't think anyone is like super nice and friendly. It's always very by the book, very harsh, you know. So and they kind of throw their power around too. So makes sense.
And Nick, I like the dynamic of Rampart with the team because this is fun. They were basically sort of like taking shots at each other as they do the mission. I think that was funny throughout the episode.
It was. I wonder. I guess it's understandable that no one recognizes him because there's so many people in the Empire, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you got to find it a little bit commendable that he didn't just be like, cause there's so many people on that base. If he wanted to, he can go to a really crowded room where there's probably like 30 stormtroopers and just be like, they're intruders. Just run towards them and get them caught, kind of thing. But he didn't.
Well, I mean, he's also on the run, so it's not in his interest to sell them out.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and speaking of...
You know what? Maybe if he wasn't so selfish and he did do that, maybe Star Wars as we know it wouldn't exist.
Yeah. That's.
I don't know what's going to happen in this end here, but I'm sure it will lead to something into the bigger picture.
Yep. Also, a point out here, I also think it's fun when the lieutenant comes back after they leave and like Wrecker, they left with the ship and Wrecker's basically left in charge. Like, hey, like I still don't see your ship. Like, can we check your tracking data? And Wrecker's in this smart moment. He's like, sure, come on in. Just like beats the crap out of him as soon as he gets inside the ship. That was fun, Nick.
Yeah. I'm a big Wrecker fan. I've been the whole show and happy to see him have a good moment. I've started worrying myself, like how many guys can they knock out before someone notices?
Yeah.
Turns out the answer was, I guess, one more than they had.
Yep. Indeed, and we find out here, Echo realizes here when he hacks into the control room here after Rampart just pulls more rank, tells two guys who just got on a shift, go home, make your shifts over, and then he goes in, they stun a guy in the control room. Echo figures out the whole thing about the ships getting the coordinates upload after launch. His plan is basically Echo's going to sneak on the ship, take off the proximity sensors, and the Bad Batch's shuttle is going to do the Millennium Falcon maneuver from Empire Strikes Back and just hop on the bottom of the ship and just ride along with them. So, Pete, this is a fun callback.
It is. And honestly, it goes very smoothly. Yeah. I was waiting for, you know, when Wrecker knocks out the guy or when they use the stun on the other guy in the office or the control room, excuse me, for something to like an alarm going off or something, some sort of tension. I felt like there was tension there without the conflict. So it was very interesting to see how smooth everything went.
Yeah, it did go very smoothly. I mean, Echo sneaks in the droid chute. He knocks out a stormtrooper and calls in and says, hey, that security reading was no issue. It's all fine. We're all fine. How are you? He basically does that maneuver, and then they stick the landing and they leave. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, with Rampart on the way down, Echo got caught, and then Crosshair's correct. He's like, if Echo's got this, like he'll figure it out, and he did figure it out.
That was a very successful mission for the Batch.
Yes,
successful. We don't say that much around here, and it's not because we don't like them. It's just because they don't perform that well usually, and they perform very well tonight.
Yep. Anything else you want to get to before we get into the trackers and stuff?
No.
And just a record, a little over 10 minutes when we started this, so.
Not bad.
All right. Let's get into our trackers here. We have two to update here. Our gas plant at the end of the episode, Nick, it is called, I got to find the list here. Here it is. It is Bora Vio. So it has 12 planets in 13 episodes of The Bad Batch this year, Nick.
Sounds like an Italian planet.
Yeah, Bora Vio.
Yeah.
Like maize and olive oil.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I always wonder the name of these planets, Pete. I feel like somebody must have been sitting in their kitchen, had a bottle of olive oil, just changed the letters around. Okay, here's our planet name.
Okay, I'm looking at the shot now that you're referring to, and yeah, it does give me major Cloud City vibes.
Yeah, I wish they just made it Bespin. That would have been fun.
It would have been.
And next up here, Pete, two more name clones because we got back here Emery Carr again, and Scalder is on the list. He's somebody we saw before. So up to 36 named clones, not counting our main team for the season so far. 36.
Really good. It's a really, really good stat.
Yep, really, really good stat here. So next up here, we're going to the MVP LVP board. These are the best and worst characters of the Bad Bats Season 3 as rated by us. So let's go ahead and pull the board up here as we saw it. Not much change at the top last week. Shadow Clone number 2 still on top of the board at plus 5. Ventress, Dr. Hemlock, Crosshair, and Omega all at plus 4, tied for second. Emery Carr plus 3. Nalase and Fennec Shand plus 2. Kevin Kiner and Hauser round out the positive plus 1. Negative 1, CX1, negative 1. The Goat-Eyed Squid from Max Roberts, negative 1. The Empire, negative 1. Sid and Jax, also negative 1. Fee, Genoa, Rex, and Echo, negative 2. Hunter jumped up 3 places to negative 3. Wrecker tying with Wrecker there. K9X1, the droid from the Premiere, who gets blown up twice, is negative 4. And Imperial Security bring up the rear at negative 9. So we will start out the board here with the pods, like we always do. So I believe Pete's up first today. So Pete, who is your MVP of the week?
Rampart. I feel like he plays a phenomenal role. I think that the voice actor did a great job as well, as always. But I think that he allows this mission to go so smoothly. I think without Rampart, they're not getting half or quarter way through what they need to. So I'm giving the MVP.
Nick.
I actually don't know. You gotta tell me based on, because I forgot this detail. The plan, the Echo slash Hunter plan, whose idea was it?
Echoes.
And it's Echo. I remember Hunter saying the plan, but I think Echo thought of it, right?
Echo also does a lot of the heavy lifting for the plan.
Yeah, I'm going with Echo. Great plan. It worked.
Yeah, I'm giving it to Echo just for his maneuver, but he goes on the ship by himself, disables the sensors, and knocks the stormtrooper out and gets them on there. Plus, he steals the ship and the code. So without that, you don't even have Rampart position to do that.
I was hoping it was Hunter who thought of the plan because that would have been, then he would have been almost in the positive. So it would have been amazing.
Yeah,
But
well, this gets Echo
fortunately,
to
it was Echo.
Echo.
Zero, right?
Yeah, Echo's now zeroed out, so Echo is out of the negatives for now. Speaking of the negatives here, Nick, you're up first for this category. Who is the LEV of the week?
My LVP is female Imperial officer number one.
Okay.
I don't know her name. I don't know if they gave her a name, but it was the one who completely like just grilled Emery and went down to check on Omega. Just gives me the vibes of just a micromanaging boss. It wasn't even her boss.
Yeah.
So no thank you.
It was actually Dr. Scalder.
Did she have a name?
Yeah, she has a name. I checked it on the Wookiee.
All right, well, that's her.
All right. For me, I'm giving it to the lieutenant who shows up to when they first get there. Let's go get browbeat by Rampart. They're letting these guys come along without any sort of checks, which, okay. And then he gets himself get knocked out by Wrecker. So 0 for 2 for Lieutenant, for Oblivious Lieutenant. I'm going to call him while you look at his name. So, Pete, what do you got?
I'm gonna give it to, I don't know if there's a specific name of a person or a unit, but the Empire. And the reason why I say that is very specifically allowing Rampart to live, knowing the information that he knew to get to Tantus.
Yes, yeah, so you can say the Empire is a collector. That's on the board already.
Yeah, I would say that, but.
Yeah, I'm going to try to look up the lieutenant's name here while we're going on here. But we'll go to next the grades for the episode on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is worth 1978 Holiday Special. 10 is up there at the Prison Break episode of Andor in terms of the pinnacle of Star Wars content. I'm going to start out this week. I'm going to give this episode a 6. It was fine. Nothing spectacular. The mission was fun. The Omega stuff dragged a little bit, which I think hurt the episode. Like, we needed it. I get it. But this is very chess piecey. And, like, we had some fun filler, but it was also filler again. But, Pete, your grade.
Yeah, I'm giving it an 8. I actually really enjoyed it, and I'm actually really excited for next week. And I think that's why I'm giving it such a high grade. When you look at the content of it, yeah, did a ton of stuff happen? Maybe not, but a lot of pieces put into place. And I think that kind of how you put it, like a chess episode, I think it's good for the story. So I'm gonna give it an 8.
Nick.
I'm gonna give it a 7.5. I thought it was a very good episode. It like you said, it set everything up really nicely. I'm excited for our next two, our last two. And even the Omega things, I think, yes, it was a little long. I understand it was necessarily like you said, but I feel like the tone was really good. It was a really good tone. Like, maybe it's the music that's getting me again, but just everything, the way it feels, like there's a lot of intensity when you're in that bass. And I think it's the music, honestly, but it's great.
Yep, and last but not least, your predictions for next week. This is episode 14, the penultimate episode of the entire show. It's called Flash Strike. That's our episode title. So, Pete, what's going to happen next week?
I think they infiltrate the base, and I think they get captured, or they, by the end of the episode, they're kind of met with a choice. I think that we're going to get to Tantus really quickly. We're going to get into the base really quickly, and then the finale is going to be the huge, either leaving or whatever. So that's what I think of the next episode.
Nick.
I completely agree with Pete. I think they're going to infiltrate the base and either get and have some sort of negative thing happen at the end. And I guess my yeah, what I was going to say next is having something to do with the finale, so I might as well just hold that till next week.
Yeah, I think obviously I agree they get there. I think that they run into the roadblock here. I think they do get come shove they get to a showdown with Shadow Clone Number Two when we find out who Shadow Clone Number Two is at the end of the episode. And that's our cliffhanger going to the finale.
Great. Or maybe he's like this, about to take his helmet off, and the episode ends.
Yeah, or we cut to like Hunter's face, like seeing who it is and reacting to it.
Or we cut to like Tony Soprano eating in a diner, and it just goes black, you know?
Yeah, I see where the mozzarella sticks are. Yeah, and that's going to do it for us this week on the podcast. We'll be back next week to cover the penultimate episode of The Bad Batch. I think you guys are coming on again. As always, people follow you on social media. How can they do that?
At Consy29 on Twitter or X or whatever the heck we're calling it now. CONSY29 AP Tyler 308 created this background that I'm using on Reddit. So make sure you check them out.
Nick, one more time. People follow us on social media. How can they do that?
At Sky Guys Podcast, that's on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and TikTok.
You can also follow me on social media, mphillips331. It's mphillips331. This week over on the Justin the Suffering podcast, we got the winter sport playoff preview episode is here. I spoke to Tom Pacheco from the Sorry to Interrupt podcast, talked about the Knicks playoff run here, and Pete, we talked some hockey as well. I had Christopher Russo, the host of the Sports and Waiting Room podcast, did a big Rangers and Islanders playoff preview as well.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm super pumped. As a Ranger fan, it pains me to see that the Islanders are in. But all respect to the fans, and hopefully they have a good run for them, and hopefully the Rangers can go a little bit further.
Well, the Rangers have the President's Trophy, so that is a big bonus.
I was able to watch that live. I was at that game. We were trying to get Panarin 50 goals, and we couldn't get that, but at least we got the President's Trophy. It was a great game, and let's see if we can do a repeat of 94, where we won the President's Trophy and won the Stanley Cup in the same year.
Erie Powell's a 94 right now, Nick, with OJ being in the news and the Knicks and the Rangers being high seed in the playoffs. It could be a fun spring at the Garden.
Can be. As of now, at the time of recording, it looks like, but we don't know. The Knicks are going to be playing Jimmy Butler in the Heat. We'll see, though.
We
I
will
still
see.
got a half to go in that game at the time of recording.
Yeah, I'll be checking that out while I'm editing this podcast as well. But we'll be back next week with the latest episode of The Bad Batch as we close in on the final stretch here. But until then, may the force be with you.